Bros. Football. Bros.
Touchdown!
Hello, it's football season.
Fantasy football.
Give me a hell yeah!
This is fantasy.
Can white guys use the term fam?
What's going on, everybody? Can you believe it? I can't. I don't know about you guys. Here I am. It's Alex Hardy, and with me, John freaking Salas. What's going on, John Salas?
Alex, we feel good. We're back. We're in Cabo hanging out with McVay and Matthew Stafford, just living the life. So we're taking the time to hang out with you because why not? We are fantasy gods. And it showed after week two, right?
This is Fantasy Football. Again, that's John Salas. I'm Alex Hardy. And we're coming to you a little later than normal. We figured, listen, you guys got this. Life happens. 2021 has been one of the best years of my life. But, John, we both scored $1.50 in week two. So maybe you do need us after all. I mean, there's a few reasons for this, John. Why don't you tell me how Fantasy Football has been going for you through the first 2 weeks of the NFL season?
Oh man, Alex, you are not kidding. Fantasy football, week one, I was scared. A Brandon Ayuk owner, we'll get to that later.
Oh.
I had Kenny Galladay sitting there, you know, and I've had injuries to J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards. So after week two, being the top three scorer, might have been top two behind your Keith, and I'm sitting here 1-1. I have Tyson Williams. And we're living pretty. So I'm in a good spot. We got, 16 more weeks to go? So that's a great, it's better than being 0-2. That's all I'll say.
I think the reason we want to do this podcast again, not just for our fam that plays fantasy football along with us, but because you mentioned it, I did beat Keith Arizaria this week. And where, you know what? We'll have to figure out where Keith is.
Where in the world is
Carmen Sandiego?
We'll figure that out later on in the show. Well, John Salas, you've rostered pretty much the entire Ravens backfield, and they're about as snake-bitten in terms of injuries than any other team. And injuries in general, it seems like over the first 2 weeks we've seen a ton of them. I don't know how it compares to a year ago or even pre-COVID, but the Ravens backfield, the 49ers last year were the most injured team in the NFL, and it looks like that trend is back. Their entire backfield is maimed just down to Eli Mitchell, who I know you have a little more insight on. And I'm still trying to figure out who's going to catch the majority of Tom Brady's passes and which weapon in the Rams offense is going to go off on a week-to-week basis. Funny, they're playing each other in week three, so that's a matchup I know we're going to get to later. But one situation that year in and year out seems to be one of the hardest to figure out is the New England Patriots backfield. And what we would have talked about coming into the season was, is it Damian Harris? Is it James White? Is it J.J. Taylor? Is it Sony Michel? Is it Ramondre Stevenson? Which running back in the Patriots' backfield was the one to own? Damian Harris was the first running back being drafted of that group. Again, he was a late commodity in terms of quote-unquote starting NFL running backs, but I'm all in, John. I mean, here's a guy who's got back-to-back games with 16 carries through the first 2 weeks, and his PPR potential is limited, so obviously a premium if you play in standard or half PPR leagues. But the reality is, John, is he's had double-digit point totals the first 2 weeks, was bailed out a little bit with a beast mode touchdown.
Get off me!
Against the New York Jets. But what I particularly like about Damian Harris, in addition to his 6 red zone carries, admittedly only has 3 yards, but he's getting the volume. On more than a quarter of Damian Harris's carries, he's converting for first downs. Only Dalvin Cook and Derrick Henry have more first downs on their carries so far this year. So as long as Damian Harris is moving the chains, he's the running back for New England and a solid RB2, but he's a candidate who I own in multiple leagues and I'm trying to buy in places where I don't have them.
So when we were doing our drafts, I was asking you and Keith for help in other leagues that we were not in together, and you just kept hammering into my brain. Damian Harris. And he was sitting there 7th, 8th, 9th round. So guess what? I can go wide receiver. Now I'll admit, his fumble in week one scared me. We know
in the past, Belichick's taken the football away when that happens.
Exactly. So week two, I was very hesitant last week starting him, but then I saw 16 carries, 60 yards. Like you said, he had that amazing touchdown.
Are you kidding me?
He's going to be fine, especially if you banked on him being there later in drafts. But we got to talk about a little bit James White. He's put up 12 catches in 2 weeks, 6-6. And with 40 yards each game, that's an automatic 10 points. So it scares me a little bit because you mentioned about Damien Harris and the PPR not being there. But I'm also not scared about starting Damien Harris, knowing if he's my RB2. If, you know, I drafted an RB early, went wide receivers, quarterback, and maybe a top tight end. So I love them both. But Damien Harris, love him.
Maybe not a priority you're looking to, but in a PPR league, with Mac Jones under center, I didn't even mention. James White's floor is safe because even four catches for 20 yards, 30 yards is replacement level talent. But in a PPR league, he's a safe, and I mean safe floor when it comes to bye weeks. You know, John, I'm going to try to convince you on a player you were absolutely sour on in 2020. How about Tyler Lockett?
You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
You lock it up. Lock it up.
Wow.
Going back to last year, what made DK Metcalf one of the best receivers in all of fantasy football was his average depth of target. When Russell Wilson was targeting DK Metcalf, it was on average 17 yards down the field. Now, you go to 2021, and Tyler Lockett's average depth of target, 17 yards down the field. On the other hand, DK Metcalf is only averaging 11 yards on his Russell Wilson targets. The Seahawks, look, Brian Schottenheimer is out. Shane Waldron is in, but the Seahawks are still running the football. While the Seahawks are bottom third in passes and completion, they're still fifth in efficiency, Russell Wilson completing 74% of his passes. And it seems like whoever the receiver is that's further downfield for Russell Wilson, that guy smashes. In 2020, it was DK Metcalf. Through the first 2 weeks, it's Tyler Lockett. He's a huge buy candidate for me. And again, someone I was targeting in multiple drafts.
Now, I am slapping myself across the face because if I would have known Tyler Lockett was going to have so far two great consistent weeks, because remember, what's our ongoing gag about Tyler Lockett? He shows up for 1 week, four touchdowns, like 150 yards, and then he's gone for a month, and then now he pops back up again. You have me sold. From what I've seen, and I've watched the Seahawks games the last 2 weeks, and Russell Wilson just says, F it, Tyler Lockett's got to be out there somewhere, right? And then there's Tyler Lockett coming down with it in the end zone. So those three touchdowns in 2 weeks, yeah, Tyler Lockett's the man. I think DK Metcalf is getting all the trouble over there on defense. So guess who's leaving it wide open in one-on-one coverage? TL, baby.
It started with that 69 nice yard touchdown reception, and it's only gotten better from there. Can you help me, John, if we're staying in the NFC West, one situation that we think we have some clarity on? It's just the process of elimination here. Help me with the 49ers backfield.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So what is going on? Like, this is like another ongoing thing. It just feels like every year that the 49ers just can't have a healthy backfield. So I was very nervous. So we had Elijah Mitchell, after Mostert goes down week one, rushes for 101 yards and gets a touchdown. But then we have to remember Trey Sermon was a healthy scratch. So he comes in, gets a concussion, and then Jamichael Hasty, who we also forget, not a bad guy, goes down with an ankle sprain.
Mm-hmm.
So look, Elijah Mitchell, he's going to get the volume. He's going to get the carries. He may not get the stats you need, but he could also be a touchdown-dependent guy. If you need somebody, if you're in a deeper league and you didn't get another solid wide receiver or running back to throw in, you could throw him in there. I still think he's good for it. Also, it just depends how much you trust the 49ers offense. But I'm a guy who is stashing Elijah Mitchell in one league, and I'm in a deeper league in one of these, and he might have entered himself as a flex spot depending on the matchups. And I'll have to take a deeper look. And what do they got this week? They got the Packers. So I'm a little torn on that, but DeAndre Swift and Jamal Williams did not look that bad. I wouldn't mind firing Elijah Mitchell up with the Packers, the Seahawks, the Cardinals, and the Colts. All those guys have allowed touchdowns and have gotten ran over. You know what? I'm changing my mind right now, Mr. Hardy. kind of like Elijah Mitchell here in these next couple of weeks. He might be a good flex play.
Yeah, Elijah Mitchell was the number one waiver priority after week one, after that huge debut that you had mentioned, John. And he just ran into the teeth of the Eagles' defensive line, really the only position of strength that that team has. I feel a lot more optimistic against the Packers now that Za'Darius Smith is on IR versus what we saw against Philly. So I'm not going to put Eli Mitchell in all of my lineups, but if you're thin at running back, if you targeted some Ravens, if you targeted some 49ers in your drafts, Eli Mitchell is somebody that definitely has to go for you. The last thing, John, how about an update on the rookie quarterbacks?
Let's go, kid. Where's your mouth sitting?
You brought up Mac Jones. I have to also bring up one rookie quarterback that has to be mentioned because I know people have shares in a Corey Davis, maybe a Jamison Crowder.
Zach attack.
Steer away. Take your ship away from the Zach Wilson and the Jets train. It's not a Sam Darnold where you're like, hey, maybe Jamison Crowder can get me a touchdown in 80 yards. I've watched one Jets game, and that's all I'm going to watch unless I'm forced to on primetime. So get rid of all your Jets guys. And even with that running back committee going on, Zach Wilson ain't helping them. So I just had to mention that while we're in our little rookie quarterback category here. Just steer clear. You and I can be a better quarterback than Zach Wilson right now.
I'll agree to disagree. I like the points that are relevant for the show. I'm out on the Jets.
Tell me, why should Jets fans be excited?
Coming into the fantasy football season, it's been a long time since we had five first-round picks, all with the potential to play early and bring fantasy relevancy with them. Mac Jones was the biggest surprise for me, beating out Cam Newton for that job, but just not a fantasy commodity. The Patriots are going to run the football and play defense like they did against Zach Wilson, where he threw four interceptions.
This is what we signed up for, right?
So for three of the other top quarterbacks selected, it was always, do I draft Trevor Lawrence, Trey Lance, or Justin Fields? Coming into this season, I had it ranked Fields 1, Lance 2, and Lawrence 3, and I'm going to keep it that way because we'll start with the bad. Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jaguars, losing Travis Etienne was huge for them, but the real problem is the offensive line. Without any time to develop in the pocket, with the adjustment going from playing in college to the NFL, Trevor Lawrence has just had to throw the football before he's prepared to do so. Trevor Lawrence leads the NFL. 36% of his passes are, quote, uncatchable balls, according to Pro Football Focus, and Zach Wilson ranks second with 34% of his passes. When it comes to Justin Fields, however, he's going to get the extended look now with a potential knee injury to Andy Dalton.
Playmakers on three, one, two, three. Playmakers.
Now, Matt Nagy may have put his PR staff out to the media to tell them that, yes, Andy Dalton remains the starter if he's healthy, but it really doesn't look like he's healthy. We're not sure how long Andy Dalton's going to miss, but Justin Fields is a huge upgrade for that offense. Trey Lance, meanwhile, I don't want to get bogged too deep into a game against the Eagles, but the quote from Kyle Shanahan post-game is, I'll play Trey Lance when I feel like it, and I never got that urge in week two. This, again, was a Niners offense that went 3-and-out on their first drives against the Eagles, and still he didn't get that urge to play Trey Lance. So I'm excited to see what Justin Fields does if he gets extended play for that Bears offense.
Yeah, I'm curious. So we do know that Justin Fields is starting this weekend. Andy Dalton is out. So now this is what concerns me about Justin Fields. He's playing that Browns defense. So if I'm a fantasy owner who maybe drafted Fields late just to stash him to see what the Bears are going to do with him, and after week one, I'm not going to rush to start him just yet based on what I saw in that game on Sunday against Cincinnati. I want to see how he fares against this Browns defense. And if he balls out and gives me 250 passing, at least 60, 70 on the ground with maybe a touchdown on each side, then yeah, you got me sold. But I'm patient. Remember, it's only week three. It's not like you have to start him now. We're still early in the season. Let's see how he plays against a credible defense in Cleveland and then go from there.
Cleveland! I like it. I think there's an opportunity. He's not quite the passer Tyrod Taylor is, but a very efficient first half where the Houston Texans scored 14 on the Browns. I'd like to think the Bears could match that or at least score 14 to 21 points. If they can manage three touchdowns on that Browns defense, Fields has to account for two of them. I also think it could help David Montgomery as well. because while he may not be dumping the ball off as much, there are going to be a lot more situations where hopefully Matt Nagy plays David Montgomery. But do I sound like I own David Montgomery? Because I do own David Montgomery. I'm so glad, John, that we've had the opportunity to talk about, you know, draft season coming into the first 2 weeks of the year. Are there some trends from week two on that you think might make sense to inform our listeners about?
So I'll just give you one, because I know we've already touched on Elijah Mitchell, and that was one of my guys. Now, I'm not saying it just because I'm wearing my Rams shirt right now while we're recording this. But we were all curious when the Rams made that deal for Matthew Stafford, how he would look in an explosive offense and out of receivers like Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods, who would benefit from having an upgrade at QB. And through these first 2 weeks, it's Cooper Kupp. 21 targets, 16 catches, 271 yards, 3 TDs in 2 games. Cooper Kupp had 3 touchdowns all last season. So he's already hit that mark this year. Now they got the Bucs, which we are all expecting to be a shootout. And that ain't going to change. I expect Cooper Kupp to keep averaging at least 80 yards and 6 catches a game. And if you have Robert Woods, I'm sorry, it's the Cooper Kupp show. I got a bunch of coops in my cup now, baby.
The Rams offense should be able to sustain 2 pass catchers, at least 2, maybe 3 in certain weeks, like we saw on their opening Sunday Night Football victory against the Bears that you were at, by the way. So is Bobby Trees, is Robert Woods that second option? Is he still a guy you're looking to start week in, week out? Or are we getting cute with guys like Tyler Higbee? Daryl Henderson is a little banged up. Is it time to rotate Sony Michel in? If you can break down this Rams offense, which should be able to sustain at least more than one guy in the offense.
So here's the crazy thing. We had Cooper Kupp was 25 points and 36 points week 1 and week 2. Now, Robert Woods still wasn't that bad. He's like, we're obviously going crazy because Cooper Kupp's putting up these insane numbers. But check this out. The first 2 weeks, Robert Woods has put up 12 points each week. That is still fantasy playable. He's still getting his targets 4 in week 1, 9. He saw 5 more targets in week 2, 27 yards and a touchdown in week 1, 64 yards, no touchdown in week 2 with 6 catches. So the play for Robert Woods is still there. Now, at the running back position, it's been all Daryl Henderson. Now, while we're sitting here, we do not know the status of Daryl Henderson. Sean McVay said that we're going to wait until Friday until we get clarification for Sunday. But here's the thing. Sony Michel ran the ball 10 times in week 2. So if Sony Michel was in your waivers this week, he might be a great gamble, because you never know with rib injuries and with the Rams running back situation as well this year, already losing Cam Akers. So Sony Michel might play a bigger role this week than we might have thought going in to game week.
Now, one backfield that we have 100% clarity on that just has me absolutely, I don't want to say bullish because he's been awful, but Clyde Edwards-Helaire. In 2020, Clyde Edwards-Helaire just had 3 weeks where he had over 50% of the running back carries for the Kansas City Chiefs. This year, he's had 77% of the running back carries on 13.5 attempts. The problem, though, John, is that Clyde Edwards-Helaire has averaged just 3.3 yards per carry. Only Najee Harris and your guy, Mark Ingram, have fewer yards per carry. So the volume is there. The opportunity is there for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He's just been god-awful.
Move this man! Move!
Still, I'm not selling Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I'm not getting a bargain basement price when he's going to break out against the right defense. I think the LA Chargers could be the opportunity that CEH is looking for to smash.
Right turn, Clyde.
I hear your concerns about Edwards-Helaire. The volume's there. Now, I'm not speaking like I'm an Edwards-Helaire owner, but maybe I am in one league. Remember, he just had an ankle sprain in week 2 of the preseason. That's at max 7 weeks to recover. We're coming on week 5. From someone who sprained their ankle, it's not fun.
And you're a college athlete, John. You know.
Yeah, right?
You and CEH are comparable.
You know, top-tier athletes, CEH and myself, they're no joke. They take a while to heal. And the one thing they always say, and this is where my PhD comes into play.
Not a doctor.
It's always better to break it instead of spraining it or fracturing it, because that injury can always be there. It can come back whenever. So we don't know what pain level or even what percentage Edwards-Helaire's at. So like I said, and I've said this a couple times already on this pod, and I'm going to keep repeating it into your brain for people who are panicking. It's week three. Give him time. Let the ankle get 100%. Don't sell yet, because someone's going to try to lowball you and then you're going to regret it in middle of the season.
Right turn, Clyde.
And enough about CEH. Let's go over to another guy who probably got drafted before CEH, Saquon Barkley. Now, he does not look pretty points-wise, but check this out. Week one, he had 11 touches. Week two, he had 15 touches. He still played in 84% of the snaps in week two. Now, you got to remember, that was a Thursday night game. So he, week one, his first game back from his torn ACL, he only played 48% of the snaps. But then in week two, on a what, 4 or 5 day rest, he almost doubled it.
That's
now,
right.
You came across a good Washington defense, and guess what? They play the Falcons this week. You drafted Saquon for a reason. Look at Christian McCaffrey thriving right now after his season-ending injury. Give Saquon time. Remember, these guys did not play in the preseason. Their volume, percentage of snaps, they're all there. Remember, Saquon Barkley will end up being 90% of these snaps and will get the volume you need. So just trust the process. Believe in Saquon.
Now, you mentioned the Falcons. There's another NFC South team that's playing tomorrow on Thursday Night Football. And believe it or not, John, I was able to track down our man, Keith Arizari.
Wow.
And he is dying to talk about Thursday Night Football. He told me he couldn't make the pod today because...
Did you beat him?
Not only did I beat him and he didn't dare show his face, but this guy, can you believe this? Here's Keith Arizari. You can catch him on Better's Eye on MLB Network. He's at the Nationals-Marlins game right now. Two teams completely out of the postseason. But again, you're going to be interested in this game if you're a better. So you can always see Keith on Better's Eye on the MLB Network. And here's Keith telling us about Thursday Night Football while he's at the Nationals-Marlins game.
It's unreal. And I'm the baseball guy, so he gets to go to the game and I have to sit here and do this? Wow, Keith, eye guy.
All right, gentlemen, it is time for the DraftKings lineup for Thursday Night Football. You got the Panthers and the Texans. All right, so I went back and forth with what I wanted to do with the captain here. I want to save a little bit of money. I think the Panthers are going to score a lot.
A lot.
So let's go Sam Darnold as the captain. Don't shoot me on this one. Dude has a high completion percentage, almost 70%. Better than anything he ever did with the New York Jets. We would expect that. Even last week, look at that. Two touchdowns, had the one interception, but he's looking pretty calm, cool, and collected. I think you can get some points out of him, and we'll enjoy him as our DraftKings captain. That saves us a little bit of money. Obviously, Christian McCaffrey going to be in this lineup, guys. $13,400 on DraftKings through 2 weeks. He's got 59 touches. Looks like there's no case of the kid gloves on him whatsoever. And then he's going up against a Texans defense that, seriously, is just plain bad. Fourth most points through the first 2 weeks against the run. All right, now what do we do? I think it's pretty simple. Get the Panthers defense out there. $6,200, a little pricey for defense. I can deal with it. They're forcing turnovers. They're not giving up points. What, allowing 21 total points of the first 2 weeks? Yes, sir. I'm in on the Panthers. Look what they just did to Jameis Winston and the Saints. Now we really need to dig. So let's go with a rookie. All right, Terrace Marshall Jr. through 2 weeks, 9 targets, 6 catches, 43 yards. All I need here is to hopefully get a touchdown. Let's go with the kicker, Zane Gonzalez. Not a great kicker, but if I believe the Panthers are going to score a lot, I can absorb his $3,800 that he's costing on DraftKings. And then based on the salary left, let's just go with David Johnson. He's got 1 touchdown this year. He's got 14 touches, 75 scrimmage yards. I'll roll the dice and maybe he hits pay dirt. That is a winning DraftKings lineup.
Appreciate Keith for helping us all try to win some money on top of winning your fantasy lineups. John?
I just hope Keith is giving better advice on MLB's batter's eye than he is with his fantasy team, because after what I saw, Alex, after you got through with them, it's going to be a long year for Keith.
This is a Mark Ingram dig, isn't it?
Oh yeah, 100%. Mark Ingram must have been super expensive. Must have been at least $1 million on DraftKings. I don't know why Keith went with David Johnson over Mark Ingram, but it's okay. That's for another day. I actually liked what Keith was saying. It's crazy what happens when you're not on the Jets. Sam Darnold's look great. The Texans' defense, horrible. I think Sam Darnold's going to get those three touchdowns. But my one concern is Marshall Jr. He saw 9 targets within the last 2 weeks. He's caught in 6 balls. But I think this is kind of where he goes non-existent. And I think this is where we'll see a lot of DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, and like what Keith said, CMC. He's just going to keep going up on his touches.
I did want to mention, though, Davis Mills for the Houston Texans. I'm still going to play Brandon Cooks. You heard Keith go with David Johnson. Brandon Cooks, I think, is still worth starting for your fantasy usage. Brandon Cooks leads the NFL in air yardage. 51% of the Texans' air yards, so when that ball's up in the air, half the time it's Brandon Cooks coming down with it. And I know Davis Mills is the rookie making his NFL debut. However, in that second half against the Cleveland Browns, he targeted Brandon Cooks 10 times for 4 completions.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
Look, if Brandon Cooks gets 5-6 catches in your PPR league, he's a productive player.
Again, I don't even know who else is on the Texans wide receiver core besides Brandon Cooks. So he's got to throw it to somebody. Why not throw it to one of the most underrated wide receivers in the NFL?
If we like the Panthers for Thursday Night Football, John, do we have some other players for week 3 we want to throw out there before we say goodbye?
Yeah, so there's actually one guy who I'm keeping my eye on, and unfortunately, personally, I missed out on him in every league on waivers, and I'm slapping myself for it. So if he's there, go get it. Justin Herbert has a new toy on that offense. And it's Mike Williams, the guy who you put in there. He's only good for the deep ball. He's only good for this. He's only a bye week player when you need someone to fill in. Not this season. So far through 2 games, he has 22 targets for 173 yards and 2 touchdowns. And they're playing a Chiefs defense who is allowing 10.4 passing yards per attempt. And you got Justin Herbert, who loves to sling it. Keenan Allen is still getting his looks, but now Mike Williams' volume is going through the roof, and he has officially entered wide receiver 3 flex play.
I like the matchup with the Chiefs. I expect a high-scoring game, and frankly, playing at Arrowhead might even be better than them playing at SoFi Stadium, where the Chiefs fans would just show up in droves anyway. My top play for this week, he was the number one waiver wire pickup following week 2. Rondale Moore is going to repeat his week 2 breakout. I mentioned Brandon Cooks, and another name to keep in mind, Cortland Sutton. Brandon Cooks and Cortland Sutton lead the NFL in air yards. They both play the Jacksonville Jaguars. That porous defense is going to allow Rondale Moore and Kyler Murray to run roughshod on them. So if you missed out on Rondale Moore, that's going to be a tough one because he's going to bust out against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I got one quick one because I know he was a popular waiver pickup. Don't start him if you got him. Wait one more week on Cordell Patterson. He's been in almost every important drive in the red zone, within the 20. If the Falcons are near the end zone, Cordell Patterson is in. He's played 33% of those snaps. Now remember, Mike Davis hasn't been fancy either. So Cordell Patterson, the biggest, probably one of the biggest waiver pickups this week. Keep an eye out on him. I wouldn't rush him just yet, but he's a guy that you may have to slide in when bye weeks start coming up if he keeps producing.
That's John Salas. I'm Alex Hardy. Thanks, Keith Arizari, for hitting a home run with your Thursday Night Football DFS lineup. And we're back, fam. We'll be back next week following week 3 of the NFL action. I'm just so thrilled to be with my bald and beautiful buddy here, John. Always appreciate you.
The fam is out.
Let's get it.